Pam's looking at me like, what are you doing?
No, she's sleeping. She ain't looking, man. Amen. Well, if you missed yesterday, you missed a great day. It was a little wet yesterday. Just a little. I was teasing Leo because we moved to the tent because it was raining. And he was walking in the water, and I said, real Christians walk on top of the water. Well, they were slopping through it, but they kept on doing, man. We had a great, great turnout, the fire department and EMS. Some of the police department were there, but it was awesome, awesome, awesome. So if you were a part of that yesterday, we thank you so much for all that you have done. And one of the guys that says, don't mention me, but his brother Arnold, I'm telling you, Arnold Patterson is a blessing to this church. Amen. Amen. He did call me up Friday night. He says, Pastor, I bought that snapper. And he says, I fried some for me and Leo and Pete and a Paige. And he said, man, it tastes like mud. So he says, we're not going to do that. So he went and got more catfish yesterday, and truly, it was a blessing. So we thank all of you again for making it a successful, successful day. Here's the title of the message this morning, is that stress is not the issue, but what we do with stress is the real issue. And what you and I have to learn how to do in our life is always take our fight into a spiritual realm. Okay? Now let me explain where we're going to go with this. We have talked about stress, and if there's ever been a series of messages that I've done where more people have come to me and said, Pastor, you know, that's right where I'm at, or Pastor, I'm suffering the same kinds of things. And I've been very transparent with you guys that, you know, there's a lot of times with me, you know, fear and other things kind of creep into my life, and a lot of y'all are currently going through the same challenges, and I think that stress is just one of the tools that Satan uses against all of us. But we've talked about stress. We've talked how stress is a natural reaction of the mind and the body when a demand is placed upon it. Now, we've learned that God created the human body, and He created it in such a way that when that demand comes against the body, that there is a biochemical and a hormonal process that occurs within. And there's three things that happens. It affects us physically, it will affect us psychologically, and, which the world will not tell you, it will affect you spiritually in your life. Now again, stress is not the issue. Stress is a part of life. It's what you and I do with this stress that is really the importance. So when stress comes and we are unable to manage stress, those three things happen. Physically, things begin to change in our life. Psychologically, things begin to change in our life. And spiritually, things begin to change. Now, I want you to look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity. Now that word literally means cowardness. God has not given you and me a spirit of cowardness. What God has given us is a spirit of power, of love, and discipline. Okay? Now, look at Psalms 31 and verse 9. We have all been there. It says, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Okay? Unmanaged stress. My eyes have wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also, for my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing, my strength has failed, because of my iniquity, and my body has wasted away. Now, we have all fallen into that area in our life because of just life, all right? So we know that God has not given us a spirit of timidity. We also know because of distress, that's a biblical wrong attitude, we all fall into that area in our life. Now, go to Philippians 4 and verse 6. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Now, the word anxious is really a very visual word in the Greek. It means do not be divided apart. It means don't go to pieces. And it means don't be distracted. Okay? So the Lord says don't be divided, go to pieces, or distracted for nothing. For nothing. But then he says, but in everything, through prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, again, stress is natural. God created us to have stress. But it's when the unmanageable stress comes into our life that that should be a red flag for everyone in this room that that stress, unmanageable stress, is not coming from God. Why? Go back to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. So when stress comes in and I can't handle the stress because I'm divided, I'm falling to pieces, I'm distracted, you go back to God's word and God says specifically, I didn't give you a spirit of cowardness. I gave you guys men a spirit of power and of love and discipline. So when that begins to happen, that little red flag needs to come up to go, well, wait a minute. I'm not where I need to be spiritually in my life. Now, I told you before that when unmanaged stress comes in, it affects three things, psychologically, physically, and spiritually. And what does Satan want to do with us spiritually? He wants to make us run from the very person that could help us in our life. And candidly, when we get into that place of distress, it's a biblical wrong attitude, and that attitude takes us away from the Lord. Okay? Now, God tells us to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer, supplication, along with thanksgiving, we need to let our requests be made known to God. Okay? Now, go back for a minute to Psalms 31 and verse 9. And I'm going to see if you see the same thing that I saw. First of all, we get up every day and we're just human beings. But we want God to be gracious to us. We want God to be gracious to our families, our children. We want God to be gracious to us. So, you know, he gets up, he writes down, says, God, be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. He's honest. And you and I need to be very honest with God when life is not where it needs to be, when our life is truly in distress. We need to go, God, I need you. I have been in the place where my eyes have wasted away from grief. My soul and my body. My life is spent with sorrow. My years with sighing. My strength has failed. Why did it fail? Because of iniquity. Because of sin. And my body has wasted away. So when we are in distress, when our eyes begin to fill with tears, when our body begins to wither away, we are literally dying, church, over the grief and distress that Satan has now begun to turn. And the sad thing is our years are shortened. Now, we said before how those things begin to affect us. When you are physically in distress and you stay in distress, it will begin to affect you physically, and it shortens the days of our life. But there's one cause that pulls all the strength away from you and me, and that is sin in our life. Because distress, worry, anxiety, and all the other challenges that you and I go with are biblically wrong. And that's candidly where Satan wants us to stay. Now, when we can't manage stress, it begins to affect us, okay? Now, from a physical point of view, unmanaged stress will shorten your life. For no other reason, if your guy goes, you know, well, it's going to shorten your life if you don't know how to manage stress. From a psychological point of view, when you and I can't manage stress, we become double-minded. What do I do? What decision do I make? Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Should I say this? Should I not say this? We become like that ship that the Bible talks about in the sea. A double-minded man is like a ship in the sea that's being tossed to and fro. And at the very end of it, the Bible says that man should expect nothing. Okay? Now, God says in Scripture, don't be lukewarm, be hot or be cold. Okay? And you and I are either going to trust God or we're not going to trust God. Amen. And that's the biggest challenge for our life. From a spiritual point of view, unmanaged stress literally separates us from God. Because God looks at us and he says, Keith, you're worrying, that's a sin. And if I can't learn how to manage the stress, then sooner or later, I find myself way over here versus basking in the Word and trusting God. It's just a part of life, okay? So God has given you and me power. He's given us love, but he's also given us discipline. God encourages us. Don't be anxious, guys, about nothing, because I know what it's going to do to you. It's going to begin to mess with you psychologically. It's going to begin to mess with you physically. And it's really going to begin to mess with you spiritually. But here's one of the things that we have forgotten in that passage also. Look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7 again. Okay? Be anxious for nothing. Okay? Don't let anything distract you. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Okay? Let your requests be made known to God. Let the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, prayer with thanksgiving involves trusting God. All right? Now, there's four words that are used that describes a believer's communion with God. The first word is prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is how we communicate to God. It's how we commune with God. So he says, be anxious about nothing but in prayer. So the Bible tells us that we need to communicate with God. If you are biblically incorrect in your feelings, the first thing that you need to do is to run to God. And how do you do that? In prayer. Second is a petition. It says, and supplication. It's the same word, but it emphasizes requesting an answer to a specific need. A lot of people go, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of pray. No, we need to be specific in our prayer lives. If you've got a need, you know, Pam's dad has been sick. We have been praying for God's will in his life, and our prayers are specific. So through prayer, how you begin to talk to God, and by emphasizing a specific need. Third, it says with thanksgiving. Now, if you come to God and you're angry at God, you know, one of the sad things in our city today is that our children are committing suicide. Sad to see where this society has gone today. And so often, I mean, years ago I made one, And the dad was angry at God. But see, God doesn't do those things. Evil does those things. So when we pray to God, we need to pray in everything with thanksgiving. To go, God, thank you for the answered prayers. Thank you for the biblical precepts that we can stand on. Thank you for the works of the cross. Thank you that you died that I might be healed. Thank, and the list goes on. And that's the greatest challenge that we have in the midst of the storm. Because candidly, when you're going in and you've had something horrific in your life, you ain't real happy. Call it what you want, but you're not. But God says, you come and talk to me. Be specific in your prayer life, and you give thanks to me. And here's why the fourth is a request, and it speaks of a definite and specific thing to ask. If we do those things while we're in this stressful situation, look at verse 7. Here is for no other reason why we ought to give thanks. And the peace of God, which makes no human sense to our little bitty minds, will surpass all comprehension. And then it says, will guard your heart. The word guard translates to a military term, which means to protect or to garrison. And it means that if we come to God through prayer, we're specific in our request, and we give Him thanks, peace will fall down upon us, and it guards our heart, our minds, our body, our souls, our thoughts. It guards everything. And in the midst of the storm, we can be just like Jesus, laying our head down on the pillow in the bottom of that boat. Amen. And the Bible has said, you know, and others have said, how can a boat sink where lies the master of our universe? And even if it does sink, we can walk on water. It won't make no difference. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Now, anytime, church, we run from God, we lose His spiritual covering. Psalms 91 says, for those who dwell, that means for those who are willing to set up habitation in the secret place of the Most High. The Bible says that you and I can abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the shadow is here. But if you and I want to go over here, the shadow's over here. God goes, I'm not the one that left you. You're the one that left me. So you and I have got to learn how to dwell in the secret place of the Most High so we can abide in the shadow of the Almighty, because in that shadow, He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is everything that you and I need in our life. So what have we learned so far? First of all, on managed stress does not come from God. If you're becoming distracted and you're falling apart, raise up the red flag, remind yourself that is not from God. Second, unmanaged stress is going to kill you. It's going to take your joy away. You're going to cry. You're going to do everything that is contrary to the Word of God. And then the Bible says that God has given us power and love and discipline. So therefore, you and I should be anxious about nothing. Talking to myself here, okay? But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. Pam and I talked the other day, and she said, you know, I know you're going through a lot of stuff, but she said, one of the great things I see about this, two things. She says, one, it humbles you, and it does. But number two, it drives me right straight to the Lord. And that's the greatest place to be in all of our life. Now, let's put all this together. Let's kind of put this to reality. When you go home today, read the first chapter of Luke, and it's about Mary, okay? Mary is engaged to Joseph. In the Jewish culture, and I didn't know this till I did this study, you know, marriages were arranged. I understood that. Engagements was a formal legal contract between the families. But we'll read in Scripture where it says betrothed. Betrothed actually meant that they were married. They haven't had the wedding ceremony yet, but they literally are married. The only thing that they're doing now is that they're living apart till that marriage is consummated. So, you know, when you sit down there and now we read that Mary becomes pregnant, it's not just that she goes to a husband, you know, that she's been, or a person that she's engaged to that's going to be a husband. They're already married. So you can understand when Mary comes to Joseph with a big belly, I didn't do it, how Joseph's going to, well, wait a minute. And you can see the severity now of where they are. So Mary becomes pregnant. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary and tells her, greetings, favorite woman, the Lord is with you. Now, I got to be honest with you guys. If we're walking in the mall or down or someplace and the angel comes, first of all, I'm going to be scared. I'm just telling you where it is, okay? A little stress going to come into my life. And then if the angel comes and tells me, greetings, I'm going to go, uh-huh. And then he's going to go, the Lord be with you. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, where are we going now? But he comes and he tells her, and Mary is confused and she is disturbed. Okay? She is in distress. She becomes anxious. And here's where the stress begins. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. The angel tells Mary, you're going to be with child, girl. Okay? You're going to have a son. You're going to name him Jesus. He is going to be great, and he is going to be called the Son of the Most High God. He's going to be called the Son of God. His reign will be over Israel, and his kingdom will never end. Now, if you think she wasn't confused before, here's a girl that's really confused right now. But here's what Mary did, what you and I need to learn to do the same thing. Mary did not question her Lord. She asked a question, but she didn't question in a negative sort of way. Mary just simply says, how could this be? Because I am a virgin. I have never been with a man. The Holy Spirit replies, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. Amen. Okay? Now, look at Mary's response. Mary goes, I'm the Lord's servant. Amen. And may everything that you have said about me come true. Amen. Let's stop right there. Hold your Bible up. You a servant of the Most High God. And may everything that God has said about you and me in this book come true in our life. You know, I sat down and thought about that, and I'm like, wow, wow. Now, I believe that Mary, when she was first approached, became stressed. I believe that she asked the question, she received her answer. And then what she did, again, is what we need to do, is to stand on the very word of God. Amen. If God says it, that ought to be good enough for us. Amen. No other questions. If God says it, it's good enough. And we shouldn't take anything less than God's best in our life. Amen. Now, here's something that's important. Look at James 4 in verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. We're going to go over, my gosh. Okay, yeah, we're going to go over, Crystal. It says, submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. Hallelujah. And he's going to flee. You and I got to be just like Mary. When Satan comes against us, we need to resist him by submitting ourselves to God. With the biblical promise that he's got to go. He can't stay in the presence of God. Now, I believe that God created his creation to have stress. Y'all are looking at me going, are you crazy, Pastor? But could you imagine what life would be like with no stress? Some of you are going, whew, yeah, Boy, I really could. God created us to have what they called eustress, which is a very positive kind of stress. That could be, you know, marriage, children, a job promotion. But then Satan gets into the picture, as he does in every one of our lives. He manipulates the good stress, and now he manipulates it into distress, which is a negative stress. So now we're into divorce, into illness, we're into being fired. Okay? So you need to begin to think about the process that Satan wants to take the good in everything that God has done in all of our lives. And he wants to twist it and he wants to turn it into something bad. But we need to stand on the word of God that says God in everything. God knows that sometimes we're going to get stressed out. But in everything, God takes what Satan meant for bad and he turns it to good in our life. You go back to the passage, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he's got to go. Now look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 13. Now, this wasn't written for Mary, but I believe Mary stood on the same thing that you and I are standing on today. The Bible says, finally, be strong in the Lord. And we've joked about it, but it's a serious word, finally. You and I have got to get in our heads that finally, we need to be strong, not in self, but be strong in the Lord. Why? Because it says, be strong in the Lord, in his strength, in his might, put on the full armor of God for one reason, so that you and I can stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Struggle's not against flesh and blood, it's against the rulers, the powers, against the world forces. That's the different levels of evil, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you'll be able to resist the evil, or resist in the evil day, and having done everything, stand firm. Now, briefly, I want you to look at what you and I need to stand on. Mary stood on the Word of God, okay? It's spelled out bigger for us today. You and I have the truth of the Word of God, okay? Not the lies of the Word of God, because he can't lie. But we have the truth of the Word of God. So if our God says, I will meet every need you have in your life, then do not accept anything less than God's best, that God is going to meet the need of your life. Be anxious about nothing, but in prayer and supplication, your request, be specific. God, I've got a light bill that I don't have the money to pay for. You gave me the house, you furnished the light, and I thank you for what you've done. And God, I thank you that you're going to pay my light bill. That's how we get specific in our prayer lives. And then you stand on that truth. Well, you know, you got another bill coming in, but Lord, your word said, the truth of the word of God, I'm going to put it on and I'm standing on it. And then it says the breastplate of righteousness. It means that we have a right standing. We have the right to speak to God, all because of Christ Jesus our Lord. And then it said the gospel of peace. God will give you and I a peace that surpasses all human comprehension, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and I love it, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God in our life. Now, God's word tells us that Satan comes for one reason, okay? Look at John 10:10. I've never seen this, and this is the NASB. This is the closest translation to the original language, but it says that the thief comes only. The only reason that he comes into our lives is to steal or candidly to steal, to kill, and destroy. Only reason he comes. So if Satan is messing with you, you got to understand that he's coming to steal something from you, he's coming to kill something about you, or he's coming to destroy you. Okay? Now, God knows the schemes of the devil. Do you think Mary could have said no? I do. Some would go, oh no, that's divine. And I'm sure that the plan was divine. Did God know that she was going to say yes? I believe so. But could have Mary, just like Eve, done something contrary? I believe she could. We're not robots. But Mary didn't say no. Mary said yes in her life, and she submitted herself to the plans of God. And candidly, so should we. Now look at Romans 8 and verse 28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to whose purpose? His purpose. You know, if you're living a life and it's not going where it needs to go, maybe you need to go back and submit your life to God. Maybe you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing. Some of you guys in here have been called to be pastors. I'm just telling you now. Some of you guys have been called to be missionaries. And y'all have not found great peace in your life yet at all. And you won't find peace in your life till you submit it to God and do what God has told you to do. And our greatest challenge is to have faith that in all things God works together for the good. Now, here's our mindset as we begin to wrap this up and we leave here today. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. When stress becomes a part of our life, and we're having an unmanageable time with stress, we need to be like Mary, okay? Mary heard it. Mary stood on the Word of God. You know, it was kind of an acute stress. It hit her, but she was done with it. She's like, okay. And it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that surpassing greatness of the power of God, power will be of God and not from ourselves. So, first of all, he's saying what we've got is not ours. It's all coming from God, okay? But he says we're afflicted in every way, and we are. But we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing in any way. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. And the only difference between the real world and a Christian is that the world knocks the worldly person down. The Christian gets back up and stands on the Word of God. So how can we accomplish the task? Two ways. Look at James 4 and verse 7 again. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Okay? In everything that you do, submit yourself to God. Quit working at it by yourself. Quit trying to make it happen by yourself. Quit working in your strength. Submit yourself to God. And now look at Joshua 1:8. Study this book of instructions continually. Meditate on it day and night so that you will be sure to obey everything written in it. And only then, okay, only then, only then, y'all say only then.
Only then.
After you've done this, will you be able to prosper and succeed in all, and we've joked about it, what's the word all mean in the Greek? It means all. In all that you do, this is my command, be strong and courageous, so don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now I want you to see this visually as we close. Again, stress is not the issue. It's what you and I do that is the true issue. The eagle does not fight a snake on the ground. The eagle picks up the snake. He takes it into the sky for one reason. He wants to change the battleground. And then what the snake does, I love this, and I didn't know this. The eagle will pick up one of the most poisonous snakes. He lifts it up into the sky, and then he lets it go. And this is why. The snake has no stamina. The snake no longer has power. He can't balance himself in the air. It is useless, weak, and it's vulnerable, unlike a snake that is on the ground, who's extremely wise, who's extremely powerful, and extremely deadful. So next time that you and I go through a spiritual fight, we need to take our fight into the spiritual realms. We need to fly as high as we can, spread our arms out like we eagles, renew our strength. And when we have that evil, we need to drop it because it is powerless in the eyes of God. Don't fight the fight in the enemy's comfort zone. Change the battlegrounds like the eagle. Let God take charge of your earnest prayers. And if God be for us, church, no one could ever be against us. Amen? Amen. Give God a hand clap for prayer. Here's what I want you to do, and I've kind of wiped out Dolores' Pastor D's music today, but I want to do victory one more time, but I want to say a prayer. And I want to sing that, and then we're going to stop for a moment, and I want you to lift up your prayers to God, okay? Everyone in this room is going with challenges in your life, but victory is yours, okay? Whatever that is, make the visual. We're going to fly high today because victory is ours. You pick up evil, take it up into the spiritual realm, and let it go. Okay, because it has no stamina there, and up there, now he's fighting the Lord. He ain't messing with us no more. Amen. Pastor D, would you begin? And y'all stand to your feet. Let's get excited in the Lord's house. Victory is yours today. I am excited about this. Pastor D. Amen. Amen. Victory's yours, okay? We're flying high right now. And speak it out loud today. Quit being sissies, okay? Let's speak out loud and give it to God. Let's take it to the spiritual realm and let's drop it, okay? So y'all let God know what it is right now. God, it's fear for me. I am tired of fear. I take it to the spiritual realm today. Sickness, Father, we take it to the spiritual realm today. Anxiety, worry, all of those issues, Father, right now, we're taking it, Father, to the spiritual realm, and we dropping it right now. Father, we've let go of it. It's gone. The serpent, he got no more power. He's out of balance. He's got no stamina. He can't bite. And he's in your background now, Father. He's in your backyard right now. Right now, we give it to you, Father, right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. God, we're going to open up our wings today, and we're going to fly with the power of the Holy Spirit, because victory's is ours. So, Pastor D, let's go again. Victory's ours today. It is ours today. Amen.
Victory shall be mine. Oh, victory shall be mine.